Well, Peace Church, hopefully this is the last time for a long time that we'll be having services only online. I am so excited to meet finally in person next week, June 14th. Even though it'll be phase one of our reopening and it won't include things like children's ministry and we'll have, there'll be no nursery and we'll have social distancing, I pray that that won't last very long and we'll be back full swing sometime very soon. But today we're gonna dive into the book of Luke, and you go ahead and start turning to Luke chapter 6. Today is a day that I want to remind us of how important it is to follow and do the teachings of Jesus. Here's today's main vein. We are to do as Jesus, who loves us, teaches. It's so simple, but the world needs to see it all the more, given what's going on around us. So yes, today, Christians, Peace Church, this is a message for the mirror. This is a message that we are going to preach to ourselves today. Whatever side you're on, with the mask on, mask off debate, however frustrated you are by the limiting of our rights, as we look at the civil unrest with America in flames, as we watch the political polarization of our country, as we watch the footage of a bad cop slowly suffocating a man to death, a black man, a brother in Christ. You don't have to be a person of color to be outraged by this. But if you are a Christian, you should be cut to your core by this, because we know that the ultimate answer and the true agent of change in this world comes not from Facebook posts and not even ultimately from protesting. It comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. The gospel is the way. That multicolored, generation-spanning, cultural-crossing gospel, that's the message we need to share. And I know that until Jesus comes back, I know that my children, they will not grow up in a perfect world. But I do want them to grow up in a world where Christians are acting like Jesus, where Christians are doing the things that Jesus tells us to do, that we would live like this radical Jesus, proclaiming the scandal of the gospel, that Jesus was sent by God, his Father, to save us from our sins, to save us by taking the justice, the penalty that should have been ours, for the sins that we commit, for the crime of our own sins, the sins that we commit against God, the sins that we commit against each other, the sins that we of things that we do and the sins of the things that we don't do that we know that we should do, all of those sins are paid by the one and only Jesus. The same sin that has so calloused our heart that we're not even moved to tears, that we don't even shed one tear when we watch a brother in Christ slowly suffocate to death as he cries out for his dead mother. All I have to say, all I ever have to say, is the gospel. At the end of my days, whatever you heard me say, I just want you to hear the gospel from me. I don't even know really what to do in times like this. All I know to do is to look to Jesus and to follow him. And today is a day to remind us that it is not easy, but it is the answer. As we read the passage today recorded by Luke, we see that Luke lets us know that when Jesus speaks these words, Luke says, quote, "It was with a great multitude, it was with a great crowd of his disciples, it was from with people from Judea and from Jerusalem, all the way to the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon." So basically what we have here is we have a lot of his disciples, not just the 12. We basically have a mini church following Jesus around. We've got other men and women. We've got Jews and Gentiles. Simply speaking, Luke is letting us know Jesus is speaking to everyone here. So let's pick up in Luke chapter 6. We'll jump down to verse 27, and we will read through verse 36. Here we go. Jesus says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either." Basically, just saying, for the person who takes your jacket, give him your shirt as well. Verse 30, "Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. As we start today, let's cover our hearts in prayer that we might be able to receive these words fully. Let's pray. Father, by the power of your Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word that we might not just see words on a page, but they might result in the fruit of our lives. For the glory of Christ and for the good of our world, I pray that we may be obedient to these words as the world sees Christ in us. God, you're so great, and we love you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, today's sermon is called Love Your Enemies Even When It Doesn't Make Sense. But here's the reality. Loving your enemies never makes sense. Not in our world. It never makes sense to love your enemies. It makes sense to post about them and make fun of them. It makes sense to protest them. It makes sense to draw lines between us and them. It makes sense to call them out on social media, but it doesn't make sense to love them. So here's what I mean. When I say love your enemies, even when it doesn't make sense, what I'm saying is love your enemies, period. Because I think that's what Jesus is saying. And so if I make enemies with this sermon, guess what? I still love you. Hate don't pay rent when it occupies your heart, so evict it out. I heard a popular radio DJ bring up this exact passage one time live on the radio when he was talking about why he's not a Christian. He went to this very passage and he said on the radio, he said, "I'm not a Christian because I don't want to love my enemies." A few years ago, I was having this conversation with this woman and she had lent another person an amount of money. And this person took the money without even a thanks. Now, sometime later, this person comes back and wants more money. And this woman looks at me and she says, "How can I give this person any more money after what they did to me?" And then this is what she goes on to say. And then she gets out her Bible and she opens to Luke 6, this very passage, and she reads it to me. And she says to me, she says, "I am just having a real hard time with this." She says, "Jesus tells me to give without expecting anything in return, but how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to follow what Jesus says when it seems so unfair, even when it doesn't make sense?" I said to this person, and I say to you now, do you think we crucified Jesus because we liked what he had to say? Do you think we crucified Jesus because he offered an easy way to live? Do you think we crucified Jesus because what he said just really resonates with our hearts? No, we hate what Jesus has to say because he calls out the sin in our life. And not only does he call out the sin in our life, but he says that we're not even worthy enough to pay for it, that he has to do it for us. We didn't crucify Jesus because we liked what he had to say. Can you imagine? So let's play this out in real time. Just gonna throw a scenario out here. Can you imagine when we're talking about loving our enemies or loving those who may be opposed to us? Can you imagine if instead of protesting the police department, what if a group of people brought all those officers lunch and said, "Would you come out into the street and have lunch with us? And we can talk and we can just share what's on our heart." Now, you may be saying you don't live in the real world. You may be saying that I'm being too idealistic. Maybe. Prove me wrong. Here's why I think it's worth a shot. Here's why I think loving your enemies is worth a shot. Because I know my own heart. I know this, that when a person loves me and when a person is kind to me, I tend to make time for that person. When I know a person really loves me, I tend to listen to that person. I tend to want to be around that person. When I know a person really loves me, that person tends to make a difference in my life. It must start somewhere. Christians, you can't wait for the world to love you. We have to be the ones to do it first. You know, they say that music is the universal language. I don't know who said that. I can't read music. Love is the universal language. I can read love. This is why the message of the gospel is so clear, because it's not a message of condemnation, and I'm sorry if you've heard that. The gospel is a message of love. Does the gospel come with some hard truths that we have to reconcile with? Absolutely. But it's spoken through the words of love. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to save us from our sins, because sin needs judgment. And we know there is no peace without justice. So when I look at those, for instance, when I look at those protesters online or on TV, what I see and what I hear is a legitimate demand for justice. Because we know, everyone knows, in our hearts, we know that justice is a real thing. We know that we are meant to have justice. We know that justice is a thing that's just as real as love is. To truly have a peaceful society, it's not a society of anarchy, it's a society of justice. See, I don't think that justice is just a societal construct. I think it's a spiritual reality. In our hearts, we know that as we watch that footage of that police officer slowly suffocating a man in his custody, we know that was wrong, not because we as a progressive society decided that was wrong. We know that in our hearts, it was eternally wrong. It was wrong in a way that's deeper than the foundations of society. It was wrong because a soul precious in the sight of God, made in the image of God, was killed before our eyes, and we grieved not as a collective group of like-minded mammals. We grieved because we know that a law that predates human history, a law that's written on our hearts, a law that's meant for our good, was violated, and we demand justice. We demand justice is upheld, and we demand it because we know that there's no peace without it. We've been protesting for generations, and we've been posting online for years. I think it's at time that we add something else to our mix. I think it's time that we listen to the truth written by the author of those eternal laws, the one who calls us to love in a radical and a very unpopular way, in a way that doesn't make sense. See, I know that for many, the word enemy is too strong of a word. We don't like to think of anyone as our enemy. So let's just use the word opposition. Let's just change it to opposition. Rather than love your enemies, let's say love those who are opposed to you, or love those that you oppose. Either way, in an act of love, they need to feel loved by us. We need to bring them love on demand before we bring them a list of our demands. Okay, I think someone just wrote that down who needs to write it in their hearts. We need to bring love on demand before we bring a list of our demands, because I think when we lead with love, soon listening follows. You may say, yeah, well, Jesus didn't speak these words during our time, during a time of such civil upheaval and racial tension. You're right, Jesus didn't speak these words in 2020. Jesus spoke these words in the context of the Roman occupation. Jesus spoke these words to a people who were constantly surrounded by their oppressors, oppressors who would publicly execute them if they disobeyed them. Now, I know some of you are thinking, that's exactly what's happening right now. Just look to George Floyd. Even that being so, it doesn't get us off the hook. We are still meant to love our enemies. Jesus' teaching stands all the more. And so I say all this, I'm preaching all this, but in complete honesty, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, What difference can I make? What difference can I make? I'm a straight, white, American male. I'm just an evangelical hobbit from the Shire. What can I do? I'm a 40-year-old husband with 4 kids and a full-time job. I don't have time to be a social justice warrior on Facebook. I'm not gonna rush to social media to make my virtual signaling token Facebook post just so my Facebook friends will like it. But here's what I am gonna do. I'm gonna make a difference by loving my neighbor and by loving my enemies. I will speak to real people, not just my Facebook friends, and I'll let them know that I see them, that I hear them, that I value them. And I want to make a difference, as former President Obama just said, by being a more active participant in local elections. I tell you this, if you got time to spend all day protesting, you got time to go stand in local elections. And above it all, I will make a difference by announcing what has made the most difference in my life as I raise the name of Jesus and I share the gospel. Martin Luther King Jr., he was a hero, but he had a savior, the savior of the world. So let's read those last two lines from Jesus, our savior. Verse 35 and verse 36. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. In this, Jesus gives us 3 key reasons why we should love our enemies, even when it doesn't make sense and even when they don't deserve it. He says that our reward will be great. He says that we will be children of the Most High, reflecting his kindness. And lastly, because God's been merciful to us. So let's look at each of these. First thing Jesus says is that we are to love our enemies and our reward will be great. Let's talk about this part here. He's referring to heavenly reward that we will receive after a godly life is lived here on earth. What he's not saying is that our good works earn our place in heaven. But that doesn't mean that our good works have no value. They mean something to God. A faithful and godly life lived in response to our salvation does mean something to God, and it will result in rewards in heaven. I can't tell you what they are, but I can tell you they will be great. Because here's the deal. If God, the creator of the universe, by his standard, he's going to give you a great reward, I don't care what it is. I want it. Yeah, it's like this. It's like if someone said to me, Ryan, I will give you millions of dollars if you be nice to people. You know, I'm not going to sit there and think, how many millions? You had me at millions. I'll be nice to people. When God, the creator of the universe, the creator and the sustainer says, I will give you a great reward, I've got my incentive. Yes, we may be curious about the details, but in my heart, I'm motivated. What Jesus is also getting at here is that we are meant to love our enemies because we are to have an eternal perspective that this will all lead to something. Death is not the end of our story. In the life that is to come, we will experience the fullness of our faith, the fullness of our hope, and the fullness of our joy. We live towards that moment. On that day when I stand before Jesus, face to face, when I leave this world, I want to say, Lord, I did what you asked. It wasn't easy, but I loved my enemies just like you loved me. I want to live with my life pointed towards that. Second thing Jesus gives us as another motivation is that to do this means that we will be sons, that we will be children of the Most High. To say that we will be sons isn't to minimize daughters. I have 2 daughters of my own. You have to understand the context of the cultural weight that Jesus is playing off of here. To the culture that Jesus was speaking to, the son was the one who received the inheritance. Jesus is saying, not only will you be children of God, you will receive God's inheritance. That we are not just admitted into the family of God, we are now recipients of the inheritance and the blessings of God. And lastly, we are to be merciful because God has been merciful to us. Okay, in a fist fight, it's not always the strongest punch that knocks you out. It's the left hook you never saw coming. It's the punch you never saw coming. In this passage, I think for us, the one that hurts the most, the strongest punch, is when Jesus says, love your enemies. But I think the knockout punch, the one we didn't see coming, the one that hits us and leaves us dazed and confused, is the very last verse when Jesus says, be merciful, just as God your Father has been merciful. Because that's the gospel moment of this teaching. That's the one that hits us. That's the sucker punch. And in this, Jesus is saying a number of things here. He's saying, be merciful because God our Father has been merciful to us. But here's the left hook we never saw coming. We are to be merciful just like God has been merciful to us because we were his enemies. Romans 5:10 says that even while we were still God's enemies, that God brought us back to himself through the death of his son. We were his enemies, deserving of his judgment. But instead of giving us his judgment, instead of giving us the judgment that we deserve, his son receives it in our place, in our stead. His son faces the justice that we should have faced. The question is not, how can we love our enemies? The question is, how can we not? Knowing that God has so loved us when our lives were lived in opposition to him, and yet he loves us and was merciful to us, he did not give us what we deserve. Maybe your enemies, maybe your opposition deserves it. Maybe they have it coming, but so did you. And God was merciful to you. So be merciful to them and give them the love that God gave you while you were still his enemy. Yes, this is the gospel moment within this passage. I want to cut the head off injustice. I want the cycle to stop. I want my black son and my white son to be treated equal in this world. And I want, just as the good doctor said, I want my sons to be judged based not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. And so let me say this real quick before I get some hate mail. I endorse people's rights to peaceful protest. And I thank you and I support you who have spoken and done this and have protested peacefully. You are not my enemy. You are my neighbor. And I'm called to love you too, and I will love you too as I stand next to you. And I know some of you are in deep pain over what's going on. And I'm not going to answer your pain with a political counterpoint. I'm simply going to say that I see you, that I hear you, I'm listening, and I value you, and I want to make things right alongside you. But I think that comes through standing together on level ground as we both stand shoulder to shoulder, beholding the beauty of the cross of Christ. So back to my question. Will loving your enemies make a difference? I think it will. I'm not trying to save the world. I can't save the world. I'm trying to point to the one who can. And I'm trying to mobilize Christians to serve and to share Christ to make the difference in the world that we long to see as we give God the glory for it. And even though I'm trying to do both, I'd rather do small things that make a big difference in a person's life than try to do big things that make a small difference in the world. I'd rather a person feel truly loved by me than the masses being heard by me. But that doesn't mean I don't have something to say. I think Jesus is the answer. I think the gospel is the good news that we need to hear, the good news that we need to receive, and the good news that we need to share. I think people need to hear Jesus. I think people need to see Jesus in our lives, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our posts. So let me be clear as we close up. Jesus died doing this. We may die doing this, but if it is truly right, then it is truly worth it. Christians, you say you follow Jesus. Then pick up your cross and let's hear his name and let's see his face in your actions. Love your enemies because God has good things in store for you. Love your enemies because we are children of the merciful King who has been merciful to us. And so the next time that you are angered or frustrated, The next time that people misuse the teachings of Jesus, the next time that you see or hear people that you oppose say something dumb on social media, remember this. We are to do as Jesus, who loves us, teaches. I also remind you of the words of the one who saved you, our Lord, who is Lord of our life. As we close, listen to our passage read one more time. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. God loved you and was good to you, even when you were His enemy. So love your enemies, even when it doesn't make sense. Amen.